Welcome to Agents of Smooch. We are returning to the Netflix series To All the Boys I've Loved Before for the third and final movie in the trilogy, Always and Forever. The movies are based on a series of books by Jenny Han. The series is a coming-of-age story for Laura Jean Covey, played by Lana Condor, as she goes through high school and finds continuing romance with her boyfriend, Peter Cavinci, played by Noah Centineo. And if you would like to hear our thoughts about the first two movies, I will put a link in our show notes. I am the director of Smooch, Annette Weirstra, and joining me today, I have two agents, including Agent Quinn Rose. Hello, Quinn.
Hello. Excited to be back.
I'm excited to have you back. It's like one of our first reunions on a series, so this will be good. We also have first-time agent Trisha Sarker, who is coming and joining us also from Canada and Edmonton. So welcome, Trisha.
Hello, thanks for having me.
I'm really glad to have you. And do you have anything you want to promote to our listeners or tell them where they can find you on the interwebs?
Well, they can find me basically on any platform, just at Trisha Sarker, and happy to connect.
Awesome. So in this third movie, we see Laura Jean Covey preparing to leave high school and head off into the exciting world of university. While Laura Jean and Peter are making plans to go to school together at Stanford University, she finds out she doesn't get accepted. And as she tries to reimagine her future without Stanford and her perfect tenure plan, she is supported by her hot dad, hello again, John Corbett, her sisters Kitty and Margot, and her dad's fiance Trina. So yeah, we're coming back to this series, part three, final series, and maybe we can just start, Quinn, with you. Kind of, how were your feelings going into this one?
So I know that I was on the episode we did about the first two movies in the series, mm-hmm. and I have no memory of anything that I said. So I'm sorry if I repeat myself at all.
Maybe we've completely going to renege. Mostly what I remember is that we really liked Hot Dad, and we were on Team Ambrose and not super on Team Peter. So John Ambrose.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I'm still there. I think this... I like this movie. Let me start there. I'm not disparaging this movie. I like it better than the second one, not as much as the first. I think the first one is just such like a perfect little gem, and it couldn't be recreated with sequels, and I don't think anyone realistically expected the sequels to. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like the second one has tarnished my enjoyment of the third one just because I really didn't like Kavinci in... the second movie, and John Ambrose was like just objectively a better character. Even though he is not in this movie, his shadow looms large, because through a lot of the movie I felt like I was waiting for Kavinci to like say something wrong or to like not be a good guy, and it kind of influenced my experience of the movie. All of that aside, like just taking it on face value, I do think it's very cute. I do think that it works better than the second movie and is like a really sweet way to tie up the trilogy. And I have like little kibitzes with it here and there, and some fun things to say about the realism of certain aspects of this movie. But for the most part, I found it very enjoyable and a really good way to finish all of this out, even if it couldn't, like, realistically never could end on the high that it started with.
Yeah, I can see that. How about for you, Trisha? This is your first time talking about it with us, so feel free to let us know how you feel about the other movies and this third one, if you would like.
Yeah, absolutely. I was also Team John Ambrose. He was so sweet and smart and just wonderful, and I was actually... thinking that he would be in this third movie, maybe there'd be some more drama around him or something, but there wasn't. So that was a little bit upsetting. But other than that, I agree with Quinn. I think the first movie was the movie, and then it just kind of lingered a little bit. This movie, an enjoyable watch for sure. Do I love the Spice Girls? I do. So really, really great to have like two renditions of Wannabe in the movie. So I enjoyed that piece of the music for sure. I really like Kitty.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. I just love her character. I love that she stirs the pot. I love that she gets in trouble. She's like, she's a perfect character to do these things at the age that she is in. And I also love her sense of style. I love that she wears a feminist necklace. But that being said, I think wardrobe is fantastic in all these movies. And you see kind of like a theme going throughout the wardrobes throughout the movies when it comes to how Lara Jean acts and how comfortable she is, which is interesting to see as well. Now, overall, good movie, Peter. I also did not like him in the second movie, but this movie, I felt like he had a lot of, like, he was a nice guy. He was a good guy. He didn't get angry about Lara Jean lying to him. I just thought there would be a little bit more character development with all the other characters as well that I was really looking forward to, that I felt like was a missed opportunity. But other than that, like another really big missed opportunity in this movie, I thought, was the concept of cultural identity. Because they like started the movie in Seoul. They were in Korea. They're visiting her mom's side of the family. And then she even had that line about, it's like I don't belong. So I thought maybe we're going to dive a little bit more into that. And that will be a piece that gets woven throughout the movie, but it really wasn't. It was a concept that was brought up and then dropped for the rest of the movie. So I was a little bit upset that that didn't get explored a little bit more.
Yeah, that one line was basically it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think for me, I also think I liked it better than the second movie. I had the same issue with Peter Quinn where I was like, he's actually kind of he's pretty good in this movie again, where he wasn't being a total jerk. He was being reasonably supportive, where they do have their sort of falling out. It was grounded in his relationship with his dad. So then it kind of came out of somewhere and not out of nowhere. But I just found I wasn't super invested in whether or not, I'm like, I don't actually care if they get together or they stay together or they split up. And even as, you know, the movie's ending and, you know, they're going off to their separate schools, I'm just like, cool, maybe they'll make it, maybe they won't. I'm glad they think they do. That's super cute. And you're, you know, 18 years old, and that's really lovely and optimistic of you. But I'm old and 48, and just, I'm like, oh, you're so adorable. Maybe it will. Maybe you'll make it. But, you know, I don't feel super invested in them.
On that point, I have to say, I watched this with two friends, and during the whole like ending montage thing, we're all like, oh, you're 18 and you're going to be together forever. Oh, I bet you're right.
Yeah, totally right.
And yeah, obviously we're terrible and like, you know, it's a rom-com. It ends with a happy ending, of course, but it was just, it is funny when they are literally like swearing that they will make it work no matter what. And it's like, sure you will, kid.
Yeah, exactly. That's so cute. Also, just, you know, but I respect that you want to invest in your, I feel like it's a good sign of a person when you want to invest in your relationship, even at that age, and see it as something that could be forever, and that you're not like seeing an exit plan, and you know, the intensity of first love and youthful love like that. And that's it's a good thing to be like thinking that you are in it for, you're all in sort of, instead of having one foot out when you're going, because it's like, maybe they can be the sort of people, because people do make it. But just, you know, especially with that distance, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. And I think the first movie was about like the romance of it, whereas this movie was about like the all consuming love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always and forever.
Yeah.
Always and forever.
Well, and I think we ended last time when we said that we felt like John Ambrose was going to come and like he's going to be at that university. We didn't know this part was coming with the whole university part, but like she's going to go to university and sometime they're going to break up and then John Ambrose is going to show up again and then they're going to end up together. So that was our headcanon and I feel like it kind of still holds. Not that I haven't. I'm like, fine, Peter. Cool. They did seem like well connected and in a good groove in a relationship when they were together on their dates and talking and stuff. I felt like they seemed like they had a pretty healthy teen romance going on. So that was nice.
This is a less important aspect of the movie because I think it's just part of the suspension of disbelief of the film. But can we take a couple minutes to talk about the colleges that they're going to?
Oh, yeah.
Because it is absolutely absurd to plan your college life on the assumption that you will get into Stanford, which has like a 5% acceptance rate. What are you people talking about? And I literally had to look it up because I haven't read the books. And I was like, is this from the book? And it turns out, no. In the book, the school is the University of Virginia. And there's like, it's like a completely different set of schools.
Okay.
Which does make it more realistic of why they might have been like more actively planning rather than being like, this is, I think, maybe the lowest acceptance rate in the country and like you'll definitely get in. And also, how did Peter get into Stanford?
You know what? I was wondering that too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's on a lacrosse scholarship or whatever. Like, excuse me.
Plus, her safety schools are Berkeley and NYU. So, yeah.
That's not what a safety school is.
Hot Dad is loaded if that's, you know, because you've already got Margot going to school
in Scotland.
In Scotland. Mm-hmm. So that's going to cost a pretty penny. And now you've got Lara Jean with her three schools that are like Ivy League top schools. And she's like, oh, I guess I'll go to Berkeley then. So sad. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all like it's harder coming because we're in Canada. So I don't understand the dynamics of that. But I do feel like that is kind of amusing.
It is for sure.
Another thing regarding that, I really felt like I would have because I think what kind of in our sort of opening spiels, I think the movie lacks some depth. So it's like a really happy, lovely feeling, feel good sort of piece. But one of the things, especially when your story, instead of being a love triangle between people, it's sort of a love triangle between Lara Jean's passions for her future and her boyfriend. And I think at that, I like the concept of that discussion. But at the same time, I don't think she's spending a lot of time engaging with where she actually wants to go to school. And you don't really see her, like she picked Stanford because that's where Peter got in and got that scholarship. But then when you see her thinking about, should I go to Berkeley? Should I go to NYU? She's like, not really talking about that as a reality or like engaging with which school or like, you know, and I get there you don't have a lot of time in a movie, but it just felt like she sort of like opened a brochure and stood on campus and went to a party and decided that NYU is like the school of her dreams. And we never see her sort of like learning more about it in a meaningful way, I felt.
Yeah, and I feel like it would have been nice to see, like, more maybe scenery of NYU so we could get a good feeling of, like, what she liked about it. Because really mm-hmm. the only thing we saw was her getting there and then going to the party.
Yeah, or she could have, like, tagged along with Jen to go sit in a class or something like that, right? Where she was, like, swept up in the moment of it or something.
I personally only make major life decisions based on vibes, so I had no problem with this part.
You just feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did love that moment of all of the girls after the party picking up the pink couch and putting it in the
in the subway train.
In the subway, which is like this made for Instagram kind of moment and silliness. But it's like, I remember that time of your life when you do stupid things that are sort of bananas and are just super fun, and you just go with it and kind of bond with your friends. And I liked that moment. And I could see that being a powerful moment.
I like that too, but it really did make me wonder, like, what happened to that coach?
Yeah. I'm like, could you act? I didn't believe it. I didn't believe mm-hmm. that you could care. I don't know. Maybe people are moving couches in subways, but.
The people in New York would be so mad at them. But yes. That's also one of the beauties of being like 20 years old or whatever. You don't care what people think of you.
Yeah, you don't care.
You rule the world.
And you're super self-absorbed. Let's dig into Peter and Lara Jean a little more, and like what that moment when he tells her that, or she tells him that she's thinking about going to NYU, and sort of that sort of point of the story. How did you feel that part went?
So I felt like he took her decisions fairly well, and he seemed to be supportive, which was something I didn't actually expect. I thought there'd be a little bit more drama there. But I did like the fact that he still brought up the fact that, oh, she can just transfer after, still assuming that she would want to do that. And that became a topic of conversation. So I did appreciate that piece of it. But I was actually surprised by how well he took the news.
Yeah, that was the main moment that I was referencing earlier when I said that, like, I kept expecting him to be worse than he was.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, in that scene, I was expecting him to be, like, to take it really poorly, and then he didn't, even though it was, like, you know, still kind of rocky, but, you know, he did the right thing and supported her in that moment. So that was nice to see. And I feel like that scene is a good testament to, like, obviously, these two actors have phenomenal chemistry, and it's what makes these movies work. Yeah. And that scene, I feel like, was acted really well with, like, turning their chemistry into tension. And I was sitting there like, oh, I remember, like, having these kinds of conversations with, like, boyfriends in my past or whatever, where everything's just, like, so awkward and no one knows what to say. And I feel like that really came through.
Yeah, and I did like how he did the right thing, but there was still feelings about it when she could feel the distance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I also liked is when they finally talked about that, and she tries to have sex with him and say, you know, like, it's time, let's do this. And he says, you're doing it out of insecurity about our relationship. And I think she was trying to do, like, and that the sort of box of stuff she gave him, he saw as a goodbye, and that she was like leaving the relationship, but she saw as I think as a way of reassuring him that they were going to be together. So by trying to have sex with him and by giving him this stuff, she's trying to solidify the connections, and he was seeing it as a goodbye, which was a really interesting, and I think both viewpoints are valid, but how that perception from where they were both coming from was quite different.
Yeah, I also found that perception to be quite interesting, because I totally saw that too. I mean, for the box of stuff that she put, all the memories that they had in that same box that she kept those letters in, which mm-hmm. I thought was really sweet. And a great way to pull from the other movies. And but I did think that she was going to make a scrapbook inside that yearbook. So when she pulled out that box, I was like, oh, okay.
It's but, way yeah. less work. A scrapbook's a lot of work. It's a commitment.
She doesn't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
This is related to that, and like a lot of the whole tension in their relationship throughout this movie, which I agree, like, felt a much more grounded and realistic sort of earned. It was like not only from them having conflict about like distance and impending in the future, But I feel like the movie tried really hard to relate this to their relationships with their parents, with her mother who passed away and his absent father. And this is going back to, Trisha, your point earlier about how they like start the movie really strong talking about cultural identity and then they drop it completely. Because what I think the movie thought it was doing was like, they wanted to make it about her, like a really personal thing with like, it's her relationship with her mom that they're talking about. And like all of the sort of like stuff in Korea is like about that. And then for the rest of the movie, it's just about that. It's just about her relationship with her mom instead of being about her relationship with her mom and like half of her family's entire culture. Like they just drop that entire part of it and try to make it like really one-on-one.
Yeah. When you put that light on it, that makes sense to me because that fits. I think too, like, because we have heard nothing about Peter's dad until this point, and it ends up being Henry Thompson, and you're like, hey, Henry Thompson, Thomas, sorry, not Thompson, Thomas, as Mr. Kavinsky. And so I kind of like how they built that connection in where Peter's feeling abandonment from his father is part of why he puts that spin on Lara Jean going away. So he sees this on some level as abandonment eventually, even if that's not how she's perceiving it.
Yeah, and I actually really enjoyed that scene where they were sitting at the diner and dad said that he could leave if he wanted to, but he ordered a coffee instead. Yeah, that scene got to me a little bit, and I was like, oh, he's gonna try.
I was also on his side when Lara Jean's like, well, if I could see my mother one more time, I would do it. And he's like, it's not the same thing. It's like, no, it's not the same thing when you lose a parent through death versus divorce. And he doesn't, like, his father just never tried to connect. It's like, that's a very different relationship and reason for leaving.
Yeah, I feel like the differences in how they perceive that situation, like, you can totally understand both of the both of their perspectives. I think we keep coming back to this, and that is, I think, why this movie works better than the second one, is that every time they see a situation differently, you can understand why both of them see it like that.
Yes.
And why no one's being unreasonable. They just have conflicting points of view that like naturally leads to these kinds of conflicts, even though like they both love each other and are trying to make it work. But they have little things like this where like their relationship with their respective parents is so different. And they're both 17 years old and their brains aren't done. And so they're trying to relate from their own experience, even though it's different.
Well, and that leads to that growth of the final scene when Peter brings out the contract again, sort of a callback to their original thing. And then he actually says the right thing, but I think he also feels the right thing. I think when he says, you know, of course you can go to New York City, and he says it because he knows he's supposed to say it. But in that letter, he's like, I don't want to be the guy who holds you back. I want to be the person who lifts you up and helps you follow your dreams and is actually supportive. And I think in that moment he means it, whereas earlier they have that distance because he doesn't mean it, and it took him sort of seeing it through a different lens to sort of finally get it. And so I think that shows that good character growth where I'm like, okay, so you've won me over again, Peter. You kind of lost me, but through this story and you getting to that point, okay, fine, you can have Lara Jean again.
Yeah, and the hot dad said it the best. He said, you can't save a relationship by not growing.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I saw Peter's character growth in this, but I didn't feel a large character growth for Lara Jean. Mm-hmm. And that was upsetting to me because she was the main focus, and it was her story. So I was really hoping to see some sort of development, because she's always kind of had that independence as well. So even in the second movie, when she chose to go volunteer somewhere other than where Peter was volunteering, or she does things on her own and with her friends. So that wasn't something that was necessarily new. It was more conflicted because it was a bigger deal this time, but I feel like some more character development on her side would have been ideal.
For me, I agree with that. And I feel like I really wanted to see her wrestle with that decision at a little bit of a deeper level and not go with her Quinn vibes. But it's like, I felt like she wasn't wrestling with it. She was and she wasn't, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because it does feel like she has a little bit of an arc of like deciding that she's going to make a decision for her and not for her boyfriend. But then, yeah, you know, that has never been like her stumbling block in the previous movies. So it's hard to see that as like a huge victory for her or anything. I think probably the biggest moment where you see her maturity is maybe at the end, after he breaks up with her, and she, even though she like wants to be with him and really misses him, she like lays down boundaries and mm-hmm. says like, no, don't come to the wedding. Like, we're not seeing each other. And I feel like that's not a full arc, but it is, I think, showing her real maturity in that moment and her like really being an adult and showing that she is, like, she's saying that she is capable of making a decision that's right for her, no matter what it does to her relationship ultimately. And in that moment, I think that she proves that, even though they do ultimately get back together.
And they really showcased her baking in this one.
Yeah.
Like, in the other ones, you saw a little bit of her baking this and baking that and her cupcakes and her turnovers. But this one was, like, that was one of her main things that she did.
That's the point I relate to her on, because I really like baking things. And I like that she baked the wedding cookies and cakes. And I would do that. My niece got married a couple of years ago, and I made a macaron tower for her, and it was like so satisfying. So I show my love through baking too, and so does she. Mm-hmm. So I love that about her.
Something about this movie that was really obvious to me, and I wasn't sure if I would prefer it, but it was the addition of the animations whenever there was travel or mm-hmm. a scene change. And then I think about the other movies, and the other movies had like the banner in their high school. And the fact that they changed the banner in the high school to animations for scene changes. And I just felt like I liked the animation, but then I would have also kind of liked that consistency throughout all three movies as well.
I can see that. I haven't watched the other two movies so recently, so I mm-hmm. did like the animation part. It was just sort of a nice touch that keeps it light and fun. But I can see that.
Plus, you know, I'm sure they have a bigger budget with every single one of these. Probably, they got to spend it somehow.
Yeah. Well, let's talk too about Hot Dad, because I think my favorite romance in this movie was
Hot Dad is taken now.
I was like, I was really invested in that relationship, and I loved how it played out. The other thing I like, the other part of that I loved, is because when you are marrying into a family like this, the girls are so supportive of their dad, but then they also do quietly have some feelings around what the change actually looks like. So it's like, yeah, this is awesome, but then when Trina moves into the house and they don't dwell on it, but they do have sort of the three of them going like, yeah, it is weird because mom was all over this place and now it sort of is a little more distance from her when Trina comes in, but at the same time they're being mature about it in not having a big drama with Trina and trying to push her out, which I think they could, that'd be a really easy thing to do, but they didn't, and I like it.
Yeah, the sisters kind of whispered amongst themselves about how things were changing with somebody else coming in, but they were so supportive and so happy to see their dad happy, and that was a lovely thing to see.
Yeah, it's a hard situation, and they can't help but have feelings about it. But they're also, I feel like all three of them are really trying to welcome her into the family as much as they can, which is really nice.
Yeah, and they show that one scene too, where, or a couple of scenes, I think, where Trina sort of is navigating the stepmotherhood in a very gentle, careful way, like not coming in, but trying to be supportive and not replace a mother, but still fill a parental role in their lives. It feels healthy to me.
Yeah, and the fact that she went to Seoul with them as well. Mm-hmm. Right? So she's supportive of their connection with their mother throughout the series, or throughout, well, I guess we just met her in the second movie. But even in the second movie, going into the third movie, she has always been kind of there and open to talking about their mother as well.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like competition. Like she, mm-hmm. it just feels like it's a part. She was there. Everyone loved her. And now there's a space for her to be in that family without it being a problem, which just seems so healthy. I'm like, this is a great, because it is a side story. We don't need to have the same level of arc, but it just feels like a really healthy representation of what that can look like.
I really like that these movies use the familial relationships to flesh out the movie and have these subplots instead of, like, I think a lot of rom-coms have just like a bunch of extra like comedy stuff, or like there's something going on at work or whatever, or it's like the friends thing or something. But like I feel like throughout all three of the movies, the more prominent subplots have been like about her relationship with her sisters, with her father, with her father's relationship with his new girlfriend, like these things that they make it feel very well-rounded, as well as providing like really good character moments for this family that we care about.
Definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, I love that the little backyard wedding they talk about. And then when you actually see the wedding, you're like,
it's a huge, excuse me? Beautiful.
Like, that is a stunning backyard wedding. And like those tents are expensive, let alone like when you get like all that draping and the lighting, mm-hmm. and like it's stunning. I'm like, I would like a backyard wedding like that. That's beautiful.
That Dr. Bunny is just rolling nonstop.
He must be a surgeon or something, because they're going to Seoul, it's expensive schools. That, you know, maybe Trina's.
Trina's
loaded, right?
Yeah.
Isn't he a gynecologist?
Oh, yeah, yes, he's a gynecologist. First movie we were introduced
That's
to that.
That's right. I enjoyed the line where Lara Jean was going to have a sick day, and she says something like, it's either mono or something else, whichever one is more
contagious.
And he's like, definitely mono. You've got mono. And he just walks out and sort of like, you're old enough to figure that out for yourself, and doesn't, but like, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I just thought that was really a funny moment.
And I love how supportive he always is of his girls. Like, even in that moment, like, you do you, boo. Like, do what you need to do.
I think he also balances being like engaged without being that weird overprotectiveness, which you'll often see. Like, he's not like, I'm sitting around with my gun and I'm gonna, like, you know, no one touch my girl sort of thing. And he's like taking care of them and supporting them without being like too patriarchal in how he mm-hmm. treats them.
Or like when that scene where Kitty is first introduced to Day, and what does Hot Dad say? He has a comment about how now she's discovering boys and mm-hmm. how they should be aware. I can't quite remember what line was.
They better watch out, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I loved that perspective of it.
Yeah, it was a very cute moment.
Yeah, you know, he treats his daughters like humans. It's really exciting.
Yeah, like, heaven forbid we see fathers who give his daughters agency, right? Mm-hmm. It's good. Maybe that's why he's so hot.
I mean, we're joking about it, but I think that this like dynamic where it's, you know, the mother has passed away, we see so often in media depicted, where like the dad is super overprotective. And so it's just very refreshing to see them not reflect that. Mm-hmm. I think I'm just thinking specifically of 10 Things I Hate About You. But I think this has happened in other movies and stuff too.
Well, the overprotective dad is kind of a trope. And, you know, like even in real life, there's those, it's sort of accepted to be like making comments about shooting people who come too close, or like they, you know, you better watch out sort of stuff. And like done it with humor, but also with like, I just hate those. I hate it. I don't like it. And it ultimately because it is about asserting that patriarchal control over women. And guess what? Especially if they're all in high school or older, they're getting to the age where they should be able to make their own decisions about who they want to see and what they want to do with their own bodies. I think when we finally see Lara Jean and Peter have sex, this is like the most anyone can actually ask for in having like your first sexual encounter like that, where you're with someone who cares about you, and whether or not they're the person you're with forever, it's just like, it just seemed like a good and healthy, positive decision for them. So I was like, that's cool. That's good. That's what you want.
Yeah. But it also did make me wonder, like, did he go home after, or did they fall asleep together? What happened?
We don't know.
They said goodnight, but usually he says goodnight and leaves, but he just lay there.
But dad wasn't home that night, right? Mm-hmm. Because they were off on their wedding night, so they could have gotten away with it.
Loophole. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is also interesting for a trilogy of like high school teen movies to end with these are like wholesome movies, and you know, at the end they have sex, and it's like, wow, look at them. it's like healthy sexuality. Good for them for depicting that.
Yeah, and they do it when the time is right for both of them.
Right. And I liked that piece of it.
Yeah. It's really nice earlier in the movie to see Peter take a step back and say, like, in another context, I would like to have sex with you, but this isn't right and it doesn't feel right to me. And, you know, he's not like a disgusting teenage boy who's slave to his instincts. he has depth. It's a real relationship. Everybody has complicated feelings towards it.
Well, and it's and showing a guy stepping back and having, like, you know, that's good. It's all good examples of consent. Mm-hmm. And that it doesn't matter whether or not he's right or not about his perception of what's happening. He gets to say no right now and end a story. That's it.
Yeah.
No, I feel like, do we have a lot more else to say about this movie, or should we go to final thoughts?
Before we go to final thoughts, I do just want to give a shout out to Jen and Chris, who are not very prominent characters in this movie, but have been great throughout the trilogy. And I love seeing her be like better friends with Jen in this movie. And they're going to be like in school together next year. And so I have good hopes for them hanging out. And even though like this movie is very focused on her and Peter's relationship and not as much as her relationship with their friends, they still get some good moments. And I like those characters a lot. So they're always good to see on screen.
And I really also liked how Chris changed throughout the movies, like when it came to like the visuals of her, and how she started off kind of like that punk rocker look and then ended up one way. And I really liked that that story behind her love for what is it called? The sandwich. Subway. Her love for Subway. And just the fact that it was like in all the movies, whether it was like eating under the bleachers or having it in the wood shop or being asked to prom with a bouquet of Subway. I thought that was a really cute piece of information that they tied in all throughout the movies.
And probably got paid to do it too, without being too heavy-handed about it.
Yeah.
I think for me, the Jen story was nice in that you have their enemies too. They have that moment in the second movie where they kind of have a little discussion about the state of their relationship. And then as you see in this movie, that it's still tentative, even though they're open to it being a renewed friendship, but it's not like it, you could erase what happened. So they're kind of like very tentatively like skirting around each other and slowly mm-hmm. becoming a little more connected and finding their way back to each other in a way that felt really realistic. So, definitely is like, I feel like they're going to reconnect in university and be like, especially when you're on your own in that new environment and they're each other's familiar person. It's like, it would be fun to see.
Yeah. And I'm going to go back to the clothes piece. I like the fact that the scene with the Jen in the very beginning of the series matched the scene with the Jen at the very end of the series when it came to the shoes and the comments about the boots at the very beginning. And then the third movie, the sandals. And the first she was making fun of the boots and now she was complimenting the sandals. So it's just kind of that journey symbolically of how their relationship has changed.
Yeah. Like really, ultimately, this is a very optimistic series where it has a lot of hope for people to have these disagreements and come around to each other, and that we have the hope for people to change and connect. So perhaps that's what we need right now, is like some optimism.
It's like the best version of the high school experience that they're depicting, where it's like nothing super unrealistic, but it's just rose tinted enough where, like, you know, any fight you have will be made up eventually. You'll get, there'll be lots of beautiful places to have reunions. Just, there's always somewhere beautiful to have a reunion for these people. just little things like that. And it gives it a nice, shiny, happy feel.
Yeah, Quinn, I really like that you said that, because that just reminded me of the fact that Lara Jean wasn't the queen of the prom and neither was Jen, and it was somebody else. And that's kind of like one of those realistic aspects of it, that just because you are in this movie doesn't mean you get to be the queen of the prom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... The concept of the main character is really popular right now, and it's funny because she is literally the main character of the movie, but not in the way that, like, high school movies usually are, where, like, she's super popular or, like, she's super unpopular, but, like, something really dramatic happens to her. Like, she's just a person and is, like, having experiences.
I also like the promposal thing, which is, like, a mystery. We don't have prom here and it doesn't happen like we have dances, does not happen like that. And I'm just like, oh, so like having like elaborate wedding proposals isn't enough, now we have to bring it to high school and have these promposals. But I do like that they showed some people did like crazy things that are really ramped up and choreographed, and other people do different things. To It felt like it reduces the pressure of having to be that person. So,
yeah, every time I see that in movies, I wonder, like, is that a real thing?
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like it must be at least sort of real if it's showing up in pop culture like this.
I don't know. I did have a prom, but my high school was super small, so no one was doing promposals. I think that maybe if you go to like a big high school, you might see some of those. I don't know. People make signs. I've definitely seen in real life, like, people make like fun signs, and they'll be like themed whatever for asking someone to prom. Yeah. I don't know so much about like full flash mob status, but
yeah. Well, flash mobs aren't really hot anymore anyways, right? So
it's true.
They had their moment. Thank goodness they're fun for like that moment, but like the moment can be done now. I'm okay with that.
Hey, everything is cyclical. They'll come back eventually.
It's true. It will. It will. Well, let's wrap this up with some final thoughts. And let's start with you, Trisha. Do you have any final thoughts about this movie and this series?
Well, I thought it was a nice series. It was one of that... it was a good one to watch if you're going through a heartbreak or you just want a cheesy night or something full of love and feel good. So I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the characters. I enjoyed the story. I think there's a lot of fun bits to it. So it was a good watch.
Yeah, I think overall it's definitely worth watching. It's really sweet as well. It has high and low points, like overall very solid kind of teen trilogy. With this movie in particular, like, I had a lot of really good things to say about it. And I feel like even just talking about it for the last however long has made me appreciate it more, which is yes. always fun. I don't know if this is going to be one that I revisit because the first movie is one that I have seen several times since it came out. And I don't think that this is necessarily going to land that status for me. But I can see myself, like, you know, if I'm sick someday and I'm in the mood, like, I could totally see myself sitting down for, like, a trilogy rewatch, just marathoning the day.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely, it's such a perfect mood for a certain kind of day.
Yeah, I think what I think works well too with this is that they opted to make it a trilogy of movies and not a series, because like right now sort of the short series are really popular. And I was thinking, you know, they could have easily done this and tried to do it over like 6 to 8 episodes for each book. And I'm like, I'm glad they didn't. I feel like just the way of the content and the way it flows together, that it works well as a movie and at 3 movies. And yeah, I could see potentially watching them again sometimes, but I don't know that it'll be my super go-to. I like the characters. I like Lara Jean and her family especially. And I would like to have them invite me over for dinner, honestly. And I'm still yeah. like, do I sort of hope that a John Ambrose is at NYU?
Do. You got to write the fan fiction.
Yes, I or you know what, I just feel like it's better for me if someone else does it and I just read it. So send me the fan fiction where, you know, somewhere in year 2 or 3 they bump into each other somewhere in New York and things have fizzled off. I don't need them to break up, Peter and Lara Jean. They can, like, you know, fizzle out as you do after, you know, time apart like that, and then we can, like, enter John Ambrose. That's still my headcanon, so.
Nice. But I will say, I did like the concept of the meet cute.
Oh, yeah, that was actually quite cute.
Yeah, and I like that it was Peter that remembered it, and it was such a sweet one.
Yeah. Also, like, little baby Lara Jean and little baby Jean. Baby Peter were very cute. I'm like, oh, look at those little babies.
I'm like, hair stuck in a chair. I know what that's like.
I can feel the way it would pull. And those, like, those plastic chairs like that. Like,
yeah.
Very believable. Well, I think we will wrap it up there. So thanks so much for joining us on your very first mission. I hope we will see you many more times, Trisha.
Thank you.
And it's always a pleasure, Quinn. We will do this again, I'm sure.
Thank you so much. It was really fun.
And we will be back again with another mission soon. After this, we will be starting our Summer of Love, which will have all wedding-themed movies and shows. And we've got sort of a list of things we've come up with to entertain ourselves with a season of love. All summer, last summer, we did travel. This year, we're going to look at weddings. It'll be good. So until next time, stay safe, agents. Agents of Smooch is part of the Incomparable Network. If you are enjoying our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the Smooch Agency, you can become a member of The Incomparable at theincomparable.com/members. Members can choose to support us and any other shows on the network, and you get extra perks like hanging out in the members-only Slack channel and bonus content such as our growing list of incomprehensible Agents of Smooch tipsy commentaries. Thank you for listening. Your next mission will be coming to you soon. Thank you.